Prayer.
Continuation. Upon completion comes fulfillment. With fulfillment comes liberation. Liberation always allows you to go on. Even death is not a true ending. Life is infinite. Is an infinite continuation. Always finish what you start. That alone is discipline and wisdom enough. If you can follow that rule, then you will be superior to most people. When you come to the end of a cycle, a new one will begin. You might say the completion actually begins somewhere in the middle of a cycle, and new beginnings are engendered out of our previous actions. Completing a cycle means fulfillment. It means that you have achieved self-knowledge, discipline, and a new way of understanding yourself and the world around you. You cannot stop there, of course. New horizons are always there. But you can reach out for those new vistas with fresh assurances and wisdom. With each turn of the wheel, you go further. With each turn of the wheel, you free yourself from the mire of ignorance. With each turn of the wheel comes continuation. Turn the wheel of your life. Make complete revolutions. Celebrate every turning. And persevere with joy.
So we're each going to speak for a few minutes. And then we're going to open it up for Q&A. I'm going to talk about one third of the 12th step, which is working with others. And I want to read something on page 128 in the big book. The bottom of page 128. In this part of the chapter, they're talking about, you know, when we get clean and sober, we usually go one of two directions. We either go into making money, or we go headlong into the spiritual experience. And a lot of families, you know, they're just like, all of a sudden we're consumed with helping others and reading spiritual books and being a part of the fellowship. And some families feel neglected, so they're addressing, you know, what happens in early recovery in those early days of convalescence, which is healing. It says they're talking about father in this situation, is not so unbalanced as they might think. Many of us have experienced dad's elation. We have indulged in spiritual intoxication, like a gaunt prospector belt drawn in over the last ounce of food. Our pick struck gold. Joy at our release from a lifetime of frustration knew no bounds. Father feels he struck something better than gold. For a time, he may try to hug the new treasure to himself. He may not see at once that he has barely scratched a limitless lode, which will pay dividends only, circle that word, if he mines it for the rest of his life and insists on giving away the entire product. That's what we do here. I said it earlier in the weekend that you hear people say we don't keep what we have. We don't keep what we have unless we give it away. I'm here to tell you that you won't ever get what we're talking about unless you give it away. And this all ties back to Bill's story where he says if an alcoholic or an addict fails to perfect and enlarge a spiritual experience through work and self-sacrifice for others, he will not survive the certain trials in those spots ahead. On page 24, they talked about the power of choice. That for most of alcoholics and addicts, for reasons we don't understand, have lost the power of choice in drink and drug. Their willpower becomes practically non-existent. At certain times, they're unable to bring into their consciousness or their memory or their mind with sufficient force what happened a week ago, a month ago, were without defense against the first drink or drug. One of the things that sponsorship will do when you're working with new people is it will bring you full circle to your first step. Your 12th step is leading into someone else's first step, but your 12th step is also taking you deeper into your first step. Because there are many times when I sit across the table, and I'm doing it right now with a guy whose experience is very much like mine, he's taking me back in time. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know, I'm observing what he's going through. I'm recalling what I went through. And I am, like, gratitude is not an attitude with me. Gratitude is an action. It's expressed in how I live my life. And part of the way I express my gratitude to God is I sacrifice my personal time to take other people through the steps. And I have been doing so since I was about 4.5, 5 months clean and sober. I haven't looked back ever since. And because of that, I have been working, Brandon is one of my teachers, this guy sitting to my right, but, you know, at one point, I was the teacher, he was the student. But we have been working together for the better part of 10 years, and I've got a lot of guys that I've been sponsoring for quite some time, and what they do is they allow me to witness the regenerative power of God on a regular basis, because I remember what they were like in the beginning. And I have been a witness to the transformation. They are my evidence that this thing works. In the beginning, all my evidence was watching all the people that had come before me, and they said it worked. And so that was okay. If it worked for you, then it can work for me. Now my evidence comes from all the guys that I've been blessed to work with. That's the evidence that I have that this process is transformational. And you hear in the meetings that the newcomers are the most important people in our rooms. That is not entirely true. If the newcomers are the heart blood in our program, that blood needs an actual heart to pump through. And the heart of our program are those of us that are out there carrying the message and working with others. That's our responsibility, is to try to carry the message. We can't deliver the message, but we can carry the message. Who receives it is who receives it. But there's a fire that was activated in me when it comes to sponsorship, and it hasn't burned out. And it has been very inconvenient at times. There have been sleepless nights. My phone has rang at all hours of the night. I've had a pissed off wife. You know, I've had neglected children. All of that stuff because of 12-step work. It's all going to happen to you. If these are the responsibilities that we have as recovered members of Alcoholics Anonymous and these other 12-step fellowships. I stumbled across something about 3 or 4 years ago that I read, and as I was reading it, all I could think about was sponsorship. This is not what this reading is talking about, but I'm going to make it about sponsorship, because I believe sponsorship is the jewel of this program. In every esoteric, now the word esoteric means it's not available to a few people that have access to the knowledge. In every esoteric doctrine, there are references to 3 degrees of faith. These 3 degrees are known as the lore of certainty. So a lore is a story. The eye of certainty through vision, and the truth of certainty through experience. The difference between them is illustrated by taking the element fire to represent the divine truth. We're going to take the element fire and have it represent sponsorship. The lowest degree, that of the lore of certainty, belongs to one whose knowledge of fire, the jewel, sponsorship. The knowledge of that comes merely from hearing it described, like those who received from Moses no more than tidings of the burning bush. So there are people that I know without a shadow of a doubt, the only thing they know about sponsorship is through the stories they hear other people talk about or tell. The second degree, that of the eye of certainty or vision, belongs to one whose knowledge of sponsorship and fire comes from seeing light of its flames. You sit in that meeting and you watch that sponsor give that sponsee those 5-year and 10-year medallions. Or you show up to your home group early and you've got these little side rooms where people are broken out and they're doing step work. You're just showing up for the meeting. I watch those people. Then, you have the highest degree, that of the truth of certainty, belongs to one whose knowledge of sponsorship and fire comes from being burned in the fire. This ultimate possibility is represented in the above verse by the direct experience of those who are allowed to warm themselves at the fire. And that's experienced by actually doing the work and carrying the message. That's what's available here. Your life will take on new meaning. It will give you immunity and protection against the first strength, because you'll bring into your consciousness on a regular basis what you were like, what happened, and why you've taken the necessary steps to do the things that you've been doing to be a transformed human being by the grace of God. And so I'm going to end with this little story. If you conduct an interesting experiment and take 100 people out of the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and put them back in the bar or put them back on the party scene, you're going to observe some interesting things. About a third of that 100 people are going to be the type of drinkers or users that go into the party or go into the bar, and they belly up to the bar and they drink just until they feel good. And they go home. They use just until they feel good. And they go home. Then you got another third that goes to the bar. They bellied up to the bar. They wallow in their beer and they cry in their whiskey. And they tell you this is all there is of alcohol. And then you got this other third that we refer to as the mad dogs. Right? The mad dogs go to that bar. They close that bar down. They go to the after party and they burn that house to the ground. And then they're off to the trap house or wherever they're going, to the discotheque, whatever it is. And they are rabid dogs. They want all they can handle. Right? If you take those 100 people out of that scene and put them back in the rooms, that's sort of how they work the steps. You got this third of the people... They go to the meetings and they treat the meeting like it's a spiritual filling station. You know, I need to get my meeting today. I got to get my meetings in. You know, I can't tell you the last time I needed a meeting. I go to meetings because I want to carry the vision that the big book authors talk about of going and sharing your experience and testifying and showing the new people what AA is about, what our responsibilities are here, and pulling them with that vision of what's possible. And then you got that other third that go to our meetings and they cry in their big books and they wallow in our meeting and they tell you this is all there is of AA in the big book. This is my group therapy. I'm supposed to come here and talk about my problems. I'm supposed to check in. And then you got that other third that work these steps. They make as many amends as possible. They investigate the spiritual realm. They're out there doing H&I commitments. They're doing service commitments. They're participating. They got a position at their home group. They're the mad dogs. Which one are you? Which one are you? Living this way of life is far more courageous than living that way of life out on that street. Men of faith have courage. They trust their God. Thanks for having us this weekend. It's been a pleasure. I've thoroughly enjoyed myself. And thank you, Roscoe, for making all this happen. And, yeah, we'll see you next year. I hope we'll be here next year. I hope I don't ever see any of you as a client again. And I want to thank the people that are not a captive audience that have joined us this weekend. It's awesome to have people here. They're from the outside community, so thank you so much. All right.
So it is abundantly clear that I must pass this on to others or I will die. I am eager to work with others. I look forward to taking others through the steps, and I am enthusiastic about the process. I am energized and often feel like I am on fire with something that I have never before could have even imagined. Now I understand why they say the loneliness will vanish, and this will be the bright spot in my life. Without a first step experience and the experiences in the following steps, there will be minimal desire to work with others. When asked why I don't sponsor, I will say, no one has asked me. I will not have the necessary motivation to take it upon myself to seek out the newcomer. I will be lazy. I will sit back and express how grateful I am for this, what the program has given me. I will lack the motivation to give back what was so freely given me. Even though there have been times when I have been resistive and balked at various times in the steps, the quantity and willingness and eagerness produced through the process has far outweighed my reluctance. Now I fully understand why I was taken through the steps quickly. I did not have time to think about my experience. I simply experienced it. As a result of this experience, the compulsion to drink was removed in a very short period of time. Maybe that is why they say the steps are to be experienced rather than understood, and our experience through the steps will give us the understanding. For that, I am eternally grateful, and I could never in my lifetime repay Alcoholics Anonymous for what you have so freely given me. I wish to thank you all for your help. I am neither cocky nor am I afraid, Paul F. If you come to Alcoholics Anonymous and you come to Cocaine Anonymous and somebody has taken you through the steps and you don't return the favor to somebody else, you're a thief. You got something for free and you kept it. I hear so many people say, well, I don't know if I'm ready to sponsor. Have you gone through the steps? Do you have the book? Yes and yes. Then you're ready to sponsor. You've got the instruction book. You have your experience. There's nothing left. God will fill in the gaps. God will answer the questions. When you get to the 12th step and you start sponsoring, you start to have a completely different relationship with your sponsor. It becomes so much more interactive because you're no longer talking about yourself. You're talking about how to help somebody else, strategizing on how to approach people, drawing from the experience of your sponsor and how they did it and how they accessed it and how they went around it and how they seek it out. And then you get to learn how we think and operate, and you get to see yourself in somebody else. I can't tell you how many times I've left a fifth step listening to somebody else's pathetic stuff, and I listen to what I'm telling them about advice and considerations, and I leave there thinking to myself, that was pretty good stuff. Maybe you should do some of that. Maybe you should consider that. When I ask a sponsee, how many times you prayed and meditated this week? And I'm thinking to myself, how many times you prayed and meditated this week? Ugh, do better. So, in How It Works, we read how it works in a lot of AA meetings. There's this line, get this. It's hidden right in the middle of it, and it tells us what the point of everything is. Everything. Okay? Here's how I know that it tells us what the point is, because it says, the point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. So what's the point of the first step? To grow along spiritual lines. Second step? Third step? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12? What's the point of Tarek and I being here? What's the point of you being here? What's the point of anything? Yes. Because see, if you can access this, then the third part of the 12 steps starts to make sense. Okay? Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, the first part, we tried to carry this message to other alcoholics, the second part, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. It's the hardest part of the entire program to actually do, but it is where the greatest return comes. When you start to walk through life in a way that is completely spiritual, where you're not focused on yourself and you're experiencing the God's reality for what it is and not what it is in your head, you start to experience this different thing. You start to see these coincidences come back and be helpful. You start to see the moments in your life where things show up at exactly the right time. You start to engage with spirit and others in a way that you're actually useful. Now, I know there's a ton of people that they sound great at the stump, or they sound great in their talks, or they sound great in their shares, and you follow them around in the rest of their life and they're a mess with some pretty good certainty. I'm confident if you actually followed Tarek and I around, you would see two people that are participating in God's creation. I've had people come and stay with me and experience the relationship I have with the woman I'm married to, that I will tell you is one of the greatest relationships that I have ever seen in the history of the world. It is. And we've made it that, and we've worked through it. She's talking to me again. It's good. But it's because I work at practicing how to be present and aware in my relationship with her, practicing the principles. My relationship with my stepkids. I got to do a practical 10th step call on the way home from here last night with my stepkid, because he wanted to know, he was frustrated with his mom, and he wanted to know how to better interact with him. And I was able to give him some considerations and questions and completely change his perspective about what was going on. My kids, all four of them and I, we get to have these really cool spiritual conversations, which sometimes end in them going, okay, you're too weird. But other times, getting them to change their perception of the way that reality is in their life. And these kids are pretty well adjusted to life. They understand the practice of meditation. Some of them have been meditating with me since they were 6 and 7 years old. Not every day, but they'll sit with me and they'll experience the thing of meditation. They don't know what they're doing, but I would sit them in front of me and I would ask them to match my breathing, and we would have a meditative experience. And they tell me things are cool. My son was extremely nervous before one of his important tests, and he called me and he said, "Dad, I need your help. I need you to hypnotize me or get me to see it a different way so that I can go in and do well at this." And we did some exercises and we did some stuff, and he did better than he thought he was going to do, but he was fine with the results. What we have access to here in the practicing of the principles is a new way of living and thinking. And the people that fail are the people that think that there's this idea that I hear in meetings when we're talking, when maybe there's an eighth or ninth step list where they talk about living amends. Fuck that. The book doesn't talk about it. It's practicing the principles. If we're operating in a spiritual way, the entire world benefits from us. Our interactions with the guy at the gas station impacts more people than our interactions with our significant other every day. Making amends to the to the lady at the gatehouse changed every single person that came through that gate after me. What we have access to here is a completely different way of living. Completely different way of living. But it comes at the third part of the 12th step, which means that you have to do the rest of them to get access to it. When you're actually regularly practicing the 10th step walking around, when you're meditating and getting a clear mind and not going out with a twisted mind. I mean, have you guys ever paid attention to what your dreams are? Like some mornings I wake up and I think to myself, wow, that's the mind I'm walking around making decisions with. I'm so glad I'm connected to God and have access to this thing so that I don't have to give the rest of the world whatever I was dreaming about last night. Right? And guys, we need you. We need every single one of you. It is so clear to me, the longer I'm here, the people that come out of this place, guys, I'll tell you, I've seen it in action. Somebody asked me earlier if I came through the Bridges of Hope, and I said I wasn't blessed with that experience, and I was not being a smartass. You leave the Bridges of Hope, you have an automatic network out there in the world that's fucking awesome. I go to meetings, and I, like I told you before, I sponsor a couple people that went through here, and their little group is the coolest, most hooked up spiritual group of people at the meetings I go to. Whenever one of those guys brings in discussion leaders when he's chairing and they all come from the Bridges, those are the best meetings. I love them so much because there's people that come out of here with passion for the steps. So you guys are given this opportunity. You're given access to this experience of the Bridges of Hope that you get to go spread out there in the world. And there's the brotherhood that we get within the fellowship, and then there's the brotherhood of the Bridges of Hope within the fellowship. It's like the exclusive club. And we're all over the Southeast, you guys. So, like, we know people there. To watch the network that you have here and the network that you'll learn to interact with, guys, you haven't even started to see how cool this shit is. It is so cool. And we absolutely need you. Each man has his own vocation. The talent is the call. There is one direction in which all space is open to him. He has faculty silently inviting him thither to endless exertion. He is like a ship in a river. He runs against obstructions on every side but one. On that side, all obstruction is taken away, and he sweeps serenely over a deepening channel into an infinite sea. This talent and this call depend on his organization, or the mode in which the general soul incarnates itself in him. He is inclined to do something which is easy to him and good when it is done, but which no other man can do. He has no rival. For the more truly he consults his own powers, the more difference will his work exhibit from the work of any other. His ambition is exactly proportional to his powers. The height of the pinnacle is determined by the breadth of the base. Every man has this call of the power to do something unique, and no man has any other call. You have a unique arrangement in your life, in your story, in your experience, that there is a guy out there that will die if he doesn't hear it. So we need you. So, just for fun, because, like, so when I picked up 4 years, that was pretty special for me because I'm not kidding. Like, my record of number of days of staying dry was 4 days. 4 days. So when I picked up 4 years, It was inconceivable to have 4 years. 5 through 9 had been rather insignificant. Last year, when I experienced 9 years sobriety, the only reason that I knew it was 9 years of sobriety is because I got a text message from a sponsee. He said, "Congratulations." And I replied with, "For what?" And he says, "Isn't today your anniversary?" And I said, and I had to like look at the calendar and figure it out. And I was like, "Oh yeah, I guess it is." It was like a Tuesday or something. I don't know. It was a day, right? It was a regular day. Somebody asked me a couple weeks ago what I was going to do this coming Tuesday to celebrate. And I said, "I'm going to go to dinner with my daughter because that's what I do on Tuesdays." Every Tuesday. Except for last Tuesday when she was spreading Scott's ashes on the beach. We go to dinner. That's our date. That's what we do. And so over the next couple days, what's going to happen to me 10 years ago is tomorrow my father-in-law and I are going to go and have 2 beers at the dock. And then I'm not going to drink again until sometime midday on the 15th of June. And over the course of the day, I'm going to get completely shit-faced and confused at my reality such that when I'm outside trying to snoop through my wife's phone, she calls me from my phone and I can't figure out how I'm calling myself, right? Like, I was wasted. And then I come in and a whole fight erupts and her parents come out because we're so damn loud. And she announces that she no longer wants to be married to me. And in that moment, I realize I miscalculated something. This wasn't what was supposed to happen. And then over the next couple of days, we get to explore what maybe Brandon being an alcoholic looks like. And we get to have this suggestion by my mother-in-law that perhaps I have a problem. Guys, I must have been an idiot because I didn't know I had a problem, right? But it's clear I did. And then eventually I got hooked up with a buddy that went to a meeting, and I went to the meeting with him. And then, you know, here we are, what, 3 or 4 days shy of 10 years? I couldn't stay sober 4 days, guys. Couldn't stay sober 4 days. Something happened. When I showed up at AA, I was not... AA didn't get me sober. I was struck sober and showed up dry to an AA meeting. What AA did is it got me... And these steps got me in touch with the thing that was already keeping me sober. There's a story called "He Sold Himself Short," and guys, this is very much like my story, and I'm gonna change some of the words to kind of match it up with us here and what we experience. Occasionally, it is accorded to a few of us to watch something fine grow from a tiny kernel into something of gigantic goodness. Such has been my privilege both nationally and in my home city. From a mere handful that I met here at the Bridges of Hope, you guys have spread throughout the world. He goes on to say, these last 10 years have been the happiest of my life. Trite though that statement may seem, I probably wouldn't have lived through many more of them as a result of drinking. This latest part of my life has had a purpose. Not in the great things accomplished, but in daily living. Courage to face each day has replaced the fear and uncertainty of earlier years. Acceptance of things as they are has replaced the old impatient champion at the bit to conquer the world. I have stopped tilting at windmills and instead have tried to accomplish the little daily tasks unimportant in themselves, but tasks that are an integral part of living fully. Where derision, contempt, and pity were once shown me, I now enjoy the respect of many people. Where once I had casual acquaintances, all of whom were fair-weathered friends, I now have a host of friends who accept me for what I am. And over my AA years, I have made many real, honest, sincere friendships that I shall always cherish. I am rated as a modestly successful man. My stock of material goods isn't great, but I have a fortune in friendships, courage, self-assurance, and honest appraisal of my own abilities. Above all, I have gained access to the greatest thing accorded to any man, the love and understanding of a gracious God who had lifted me from the alcoholic scrap heap to a position of trust, where I have been able to reap the rich rewards that come from showing a little love for others and from serving them as I can. You see, I should have been dead 10 years and 2 days ago. I'm not. From that moment to this, my life isn't my business. Because the best I could do is want to destroy myself. So to be here and to come here and to share this experience with you, it's what God wants for me to do. I hope you got something out of it. I know some of you did, and I appreciate it. So thanks for letting me share. Yeah.